Turn to your neighbor and say, it's only 10 days away. Woo! You know what's in 10 days? Santa's coming to town. Woo! 10 days is so exciting. Christmas will be here. Santa is coming. Woo! Are we excited? And I was heartbroken when I learned that Santa Claus was not real. That was just a sad day in history. Anyway, on average, people will spend, depending on income, $500 to $2,500 on gift giving this Christmas season. Christmas, the holidays. What does it do? You know, the sights and the smells, they trigger something in us. Feelings. Turn to your neighbor and say, feelings. My neighbor, you're so wonderful to bring these feelings. Sights and smells from the holidays, they trigger feelings inside of us. Memories when we're little. And they trigger hope for the future. Holidays, they redo family, friend connections. Holidays teach us, remind us to give generously, to connect to people in the community, to celebrate Jesus. Movies, lights, trees, plays, carolers, and family time. Fortunately, one-third of the people during the holidays feel anxiety, angst, higher levels of sadness, fatigue, tension, depression, mood swings. None of us deal with that, mood swings. But there's a lot going on during the holidays. So many different things. And as you're out in the holidays, you will see people who are happy, they're bubbly, they're cheerful, they're singing Christmas songs as they walk through the streets and do cartwheels as they're shopping for groceries. And then you have other people who are knocking people down to get to the what they need to get in the grocery store. How do you celebrate your holidays? How, what kind of thing fills your heart this time of year? What attitude do we possess? And inside of us, does it speak loud and clear? With that, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Matthew 4, starting in verse 1. My title is called Double Agent, and I hope this morning none of us in here are double agents. It's not good. Double agents. Matthew 4, starting at verse 1. And this is this. Jesus was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. 40 days, 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, well, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. Jesus told him, no. Scriptures say people don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Verse 5. The devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple. And he said, if you're the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you. And they'll hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus responded, the scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God. Matthew 4:8. Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all the glory. I will give this all to you, he said, if you kneel down and worship me. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him. From the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then the devil went away and angels came and took care of Jesus. And so this morning, there's something that I want to bring up. There is an enemy at large, and we know every day during just, you know, the 365 days that we're alive and living and breathing and enjoying life and sipping on yummy coffee. So hot it burns your throat a little bit. So good. There's an enemy at large. And what do we know about our enemy? We know that the enemy, his purpose in life, the enemy's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. We know that the enemy's purpose, he loves to be a stumbling block, as it was to Peter, and Jesus referenced that here in Matthew 16:23. We know that the purpose of our enemy, he roars around like a roaring lion looking for people to devour. We know Genesis 3:1, our enemy, the serpent, used a serpent. He will use anyone and anything he can to accomplish his purpose. Genesis 3:1. John 8:44, Jesus talking about the devil, he says he is a liar and he is the father of lies. 2 Corinthians 11:14, Apostle Paul, Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. It is no wonder that his servants also disguise themselves, servants of righteousness. But in the end, they're going to get the punishment their wicked deeds deserve. Satan, describing Satan. There's so many different things that describe who he is and what he does. We know Lucifer was a fallen angel that got into his head. And some of us, we've learned in life, when you get into your head sometimes and start thinking about yourself and how wonderful and, you know, handsome and amazing and beautiful you are, sometimes our thoughts can cause to go to an unhealthy place. And the devil, Lucifer, fell from heaven because of what he thought about himself and his thoughts that turned towards God. His purpose in life is he is here, steal, kill, and destroy. And he's going to use anything and everything he can to disguise himself. To what? To trick, deceive, and to be a stumbling block to every single one of us. Every single day, trying to get us to be distracted, lost, to get angry, to get bitter, to be confused. And I bring that up because in the holidays, as I go out, as I go to, you know, restaurants, as I go to Walmart, beautiful place. As I go to other places in town, you see so clearly people. You can look into people and you can see people who are being deceived, people who are being led away, people who are struggling, people who are happy. We wear it on our faces everywhere we go in everything that we do and how we talk to people. Sometimes, if you ever heard people, you know, if someone needs something, if I needed a cup of coffee and I told my son, Josh, go get it for me now, how loving and kind does that sound? Or if I said, hey, please, could you, you know, very please, could you go get me a cup of coffee? It would be really wonderful and amazing and kind and love you so much, right? There's a way that we should talk to people, but have you ever listened to yourself in the way that you bark orders to people? Have you ever listened to yourself the way that we talk to associates at Walmart? Have you ever found out yesterday? So I don't know if you use the self-service at Walmart, but there was a man who got there at like, I don't know, it was like 7:30. I think I went 3 times yesterday. It was horrible. I had to go to Walmart 3 times. Luckily, I'm across the street, so don't waste too much time. But anyway, there's a man gets there at 7:30, and he wanted to buy beer, but you can't buy beer or alcohol at the self-service. So he got a little unhappy with the associate and said, yesterday I was here, and someone let me do it. And he starts, you know, barking and yelling at the lady. Hopefully he wasn't a Christian. He was buying Coors Light, you know, so maybe there's hope. Anyway. The associate said, you know what? If you get here before 7, none of the other lanes are open, so yes, they would allow you to do it. But if you get here after 7, then you have to go down this way. After being yelled at, the person handled it beautifully. Us in here this morning, when we don't get what we want and how we want it, it comes out in the tone of our voices. In this holiday season, and sometimes, you know, it could happen at birthdays, it could happen at the workplace, it can happen at home, it can happen anywhere. But the holidays seems to bring out the best in people, but also brings out the worst in people. It does. And I just kind of wonder what's being brought out in you. This holiday season in 2024, what is being brought out in you? We know that the devil, and I brought up that text this morning, as he's having a conversation with Jesus, they're battling it out. The devil and Jesus are battling it out. And they're battling out life for 3 things. And these 3 things, they affect our life, our livelihood, and our attitude. Because I don't know if we know attitude is so important in life. Where we go and what we do, what kind of attitude we have, what kind of outlook and perspective, it's all important. And so Jesus says he fasted for 40 days. That means he did not eat food. Seems impossible, but it can be done. The devil, knowing that he was hungry, comes to him and says, hey, if you're hungry, why don't you turn these stones into bread? Now, God could do anything. He could cause, you know, a cow to walk by. They could kill it and eat it on the spot. There's a lot of different things that could happen. But the 3 things that is pointed out in the story, there is such a battle for appetite. And the appetite goes far beyond our stomachs. Yes, our stomachs do control a lot of what we do and how we say it and how we live our life. When we are hungry, the best or the worst version can come out from these people right here. Three things are spoken loud and clear about attitude. And the first one is our appetite. And we all have an appetite spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. There's four aspects of life: the emotional part, the physical part, the mental part, the spiritual part of life. We all have hunger and appetites inside of us. And the truth of the matter is, just when you get hungry, you feed yourself, you get full. We all feed ourselves. And we either feed ourselves with things that are uplifting and good, or we feed ourselves with junk. If you feed your body with junk, eventually the junk in the trunk is going to cause a big mess. It is. The appetite this year for life plays a big part of who you are. The appetite, you know, our hunger, where we go, what we do, what we eat, what we feed on spiritually and mentally to get motivated every single day. Whatever it is, do you know how important hunger is to life? It is. Being hungry, it is important. But let's be honest, how much of our life is dominated by a physical hunger and maybe not enough dominated by the spiritual hunger that is much larger inside of us? As Jesus and the devil are having this conversation, he knew that Jesus was hungry. So he says, if you're hungry, turn the stones into bread. What did Jesus respond? I don't need food. I can live on the word of God. I can live on the Word of God. I can live on the Word of God. I can read the Word of God. I can tell you, reading over and over again. The more you read, it is like finding hidden treasure in a field. The more you read the Bible, the more you open it up, the more you study it, the more you dig into words and what the words mean, it is food that does. It satisfies. And you know what's great about technology? Man, we can read it. Man, you can put it on the audio. You can listen to it. If you drive for work, you go anywhere. Man, there's so many ways that you can get fed spiritually. Or yeah, we can turn it on sports while we're driving to work. Or we can just listen to our favorite songs. But our attitude really largely is dependent upon, number one, how am I feeding myself this holiday season? I know we've probably already planned out and prepared. Is it going to be ham? Turkey's gone because that was Thanksgiving. So is it going to be beef, some kind of roast, piece of ribeye, make some prime rib? Some of us in here, and maybe most of us, and maybe 98%, there's always that one's like, I'm just going to go out and buy it the night before. We'll figure it out. But most of us have planned and prepared for what? The meal. But are we planning, preparing spiritually every single day? And then we wonder sometimes, because our minds are so prone to wonder, how we can get so angry and rude when we don't plan and prepare ourselves to be spiritual people every day, and then we lose it, and we wonder how we lose it. We lose it because we didn't plan and prepare. You're going to spend time planning, preparing what you're going to cook for your Christmas meal. You're going to put love into it, because when you put love into it, everything is better. Just like butter. Put it butter in everything. It just is better. We plan. We prepare. We spend money. We buy gifts. This physical world, do we not see how much time we spend letting it dominate who we are? And maybe this holiday season, can we take a step back to say, am I allowing the physical hunger I have inside to dominate the world that I live in, giving me, you know, cranky attitudes at time and mood swings and this, that, and the other? Or am I allowing the spiritual hunger? Am I feeding myself properly spiritually today? Secondly, as Jesus and the devil are battling it out, he says, listen, you're the Son of God. Why don't you go jump off? Why don't you go jump off the roof? Superman? Are you Superman? Do you have superhuman powers? He goes, the angels, God's angels, they'll come. And secondly, there's such a battle for what we hunger, but secondly, what and who we trust in. Life, from a very young age, by the time we're four, we have developed trust or the lack of trust. By the time you're four, Most kids have decided, believe it or not, if they know and will be a trusting person or if they have a issue with trust. By the time they're four, number four, believe it. If there's a good balanced home that we grow up in, by the time we're four, we will either be trustworthy people or untrustworthy. Crazy. Jesus and the devils are having this conversation. Secondly, they run into this battle, and it's a battle of trust. Who do I trust in? Do I trust in myself? Do I trust in things for myself? Do I trust in life? And yes, we should trust. We have ability. Yes, we have talent, but we don't trust in our abilities and our talents. We trust in the person who gives us the ability and the talents. Who do I trust in? What do I trust in? Who do I put my faith and hope and trust in every single day? One of the things that people love about the holidays, the sights and the smells, it triggers something inside of them. I can just breathe deeply. This is beautiful. For some reason, when the Christmas holiday is good and everything is right, you know what it does for many? It produces hope for the next day. Wow, look at my family, my kids, they're not fighting, they're not clawing at each other today. This is so wonderful, it's so quiet, it's so peaceful, everything's perfect. And there's something all of a sudden that triggers, and there's hope that begins to rise inside. When we put our hope and trust in Jesus every single day, there is a battle for who and what we trust in. And lastly, we see as Jesus and the devil are having their last conversation, the devil says, listen, Jesus, I'll give you the kingdoms and all the kingdoms of the world if you just bow down and worship me. Don't go to the cross. Why go to the cross? He knew what Jesus was going to do. Why go to the cross? Just bow down and worship me. I will give you some towns, some villas, some islands. I'll give you whatever you want. Motorcycle, BMW, you name it. You name it, you claim it, I'll give it to you. And Jesus says to the devil, listen, I worship only God. I'm going to only worship God. My path, as he's saying this, my path is destined to die. But it's a death, not only to myself, but it's a death that I'm going to pay for humanity. And I'm not going to stop the plan short. I'm not going to give up on the plan just so I can get a quick fix. I'm not going to give up on God's plan, my Father's plan, just so I can get a little fix over here, a little fix over there. I'm not going to bow down and worship you. I'm only made to worship God. Worship. There's a battle for who and what we worship. Worship, this thought and feeling of adoration, who and what I bow down to. And most of us in here, we say, I bow down to no one. I don't bow to anybody. You must bow before me, but I won't bow to anyone. None of us act like that. When does anybody say that on TV, right? But let's be honest, worship, if this is an adoration of bowing down, almost to bow down and give a kiss, there are things in life that we worship. There are things that we bow down to every single day and worship that are not God, that are not Jesus. Do any of the things that we own, did they save us from our sins? Are there anything in our houses that could save us and deliver us and send us to heaven? I mean, if you got a Bible in the house, yes, but we're talking about the rest of our junk that we love to store. But how many of us fill our houses with stuff? And we continue to get more stuff and get more stuff and get more stuff and get more stuff. What is the stuff really doing? It's just occupying space, air. Jesus, one of the greatest things that he points out here in this last part with the devil, life is such a battle. Remember, three things: for what I hunger for who I trust in, and what I worship. Those three simple things, they fuel us every single day, everywhere we go and everything we do. And the outcome, the reflection, God says, I made you, me, we. He said, I made you in my image, which is to represent, to reflect. And these lovely bodies, we are good at reflecting. We are good at representing. Look at the brands we wear and the cars that we drive. We like to represent. We represent and reflect. But at the end of the day, anything that we drive and anything that we wear, does that impact us? every single day. Sure, maybe it makes us a little more happier, you know, if we got, you know, shoes and clothes we like. But God says, I made you in my image to reflect, to represent, and to show up every single day with that reflection and representing attitude is such a big part. And how and what is our attitude? Really, it's our hunger. It's who or what I trust in. And it's who or what I worship. Those things play a massive role. As Jesus and the devil were battling it out, they're battling it out. One of the things the devil is saying to Jesus, stop following God. Stop following God's plans. Just live, collect, gather. And there's two big words I want to talk about this morning. Remember, my title is called Double Agent. But before any of us can become a double agent, many of us start living double lives. And we start living double lives because, remember, we take back what the devil does. He steals, he kills, he destroys. He's the father of lies. He lies, lies, lies all the time. He disguises himself. The devil will use anything and everything to deceive, to trick. And so he's after us. And what does he do? He starts trying to get us to accept things that are not healthy and good for us. And then he gets us to start allowing certain situations that we know aren't right, certain things in our life we should not do or see. I'm starting to accept, I'm starting to allow, not realizing that I know that my life, I should live for God, but I'm starting to accept this, I've started to allow this. And when you start accepting and you start allowing, little lies always follow. Most people, when they start allowing and accepting things in their life that are not good, they start living a double life. I'm this person over here, I'm that person over there. And instead of coming clean, many lead a double life and they run and they hide from the things that they're allowing and they're accepting that they aren't very good. James 1:13 says, remember, when we're being tempted, don't say, God's tempting me. God never tempts anyone to do wrong. He never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us. They drag us away. Desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Don't be misled, brothers and sisters. Philippians 3:18, I've told you before, but I say it again with tears in my eyes. There are many whose conduct shows they're really the enemies of the cross of Christ. They're headed for destruction. Why? Because their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things. They only think about life here on earth. Do we see what's on TV, what people post on social media, what people brag about? The things and the sins that people want to do and brag and get away with. And we can point fingers and we can get judgy. But at the same time, let's be honest, if we look in the mirror, none of us in here are perfect. None of us in here are perfect. And so it's a daily fight, battle, and grind with the devil, with his boys. My appetite, my hunger, my trust, my worship. Are we allowing or accepting anything in here that could cause me, that could cause us to lead a double life, that could cause me to slowly, without even realizing it, start to walk away from God, the creator of the life? Is there anything in me, around me, friends that are just not good, family that just aren't good, unfortunately, things that I'm listening to on TV, things I'm listening to on my phone? Is there things that I'm watching that are not filling me with positivity that I need so that I can be led by God? So as we hold that thought, the end of day is where we began. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to go back to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. The end is where we begin today. Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, during the reign of King Herod. And about that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and the teachers of religious law, and he asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" Verse 5. "In Bethlehem, Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel.' Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time the star first appeared. And he told them in verse 8, 'Go to Bethlehem, search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me, so I can go and worship him too.' After this interview, the wise men went their way. The star that they'd seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and it stopped over the place where the child was." Verse 10, "When they saw the star, they were filled with so much joy. They entered the house. They saw the child with his mother. And then they bowed down and they worshiped Jesus. They opened their treasure chests and they gave Jesus gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." And so lastly, as we kind of pull together our day, our moment in time together, the wise men in this story define wise, being a wise, a smart. If we were to ask every one of us in here, what does wise, being wise, mean? There's certain people that we would point to. There's certain people that we could bring up. You know, the wisdom, the intelligence, the understanding of life, the things that people have gone through that has caused them to be a learned person, wise. But this morning, as we look at the story of the wise men, there was 3, 4, 5. We always see 3 in plays, but there probably was more than 3. There was a group of people traveling. They were traveling to see a king. As they were looking up in the sky, there were men who were astrologers who understood to look up at the star, to see the sky, to be able to read things that are being said in the sky. Because why? Creation speaks. You know what creation speaks? There is a creator. We are created. The stars, the sun, the moon, the sky, the ocean, the land, everywhere you go and everything you look at, that is created. The wise man understanding the creation speaks of a creator. There's a message in creation that is being spoke to all the world. There is a newborn king of Jews. And so the wise man in this story, the very first thing that is so loud and clear that makes them wise, it's all about who you follow. They followed a star. And it really wasn't about the star, but it's what the star pointed them to. In life, what are we truly following? Who are we truly following? And I'm not asking your social media who you are linked to, who you like, and what you heart, and all the things that you follow. But in life, the wise men, they followed a star, which was leading them and guiding them to the greatest message and king we have ever seen and heard of, Jesus Christ. The wise men, their story speaks. I'm wise because I know who to follow. I'm wise. I'm smart because I understand. I follow the right person. I'm going to the right place. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. There is action. There's focus everywhere I go. And it kind of reminds me of Apostle Paul, where he says, listen, I'm not just a shadow boxer. I'm not just going to sit and punch air, which sounds like fun. He goes, I run with purpose in my step everywhere I go and everything that I do. It's intentional. I'm focused because I know who I follow. And truthfully, this morning, we all follow someone and we all follow something. But are we following the star that leads us to Jesus Christ? The wise men in the story, this speaks this time, this holiday season, about who and what we follow and where we're being led to. None of us want to be led into a booby trap. None of us want to be led off a cliff. But if we're living double lives, if you play with fire, eventually you're going to get burned. Devil, hey, play with this little sin over here. Let's be accepting of this over here. Let's allow this little sin over here. Let's allow a little of this. Let's accept a little bit of this. Let's accept whatever the culture tells us is okay. The problem is when we start accepting and allowing, we start playing with fire. We start living a double life. Then we're running and we're hiding with things. And we live and we move from a double life, become a double agent, where we're playing both sides. And you know what? People all over the world, there are so many people who play both sides. They can come to church and we can act perfect and clean and wonderful. And then they go outside and then they cuss up a storm. And then they're punching, beating, hurting, getting angry with people. Remember what God made us in his image. So I should reflect him. Everywhere I go. My attitude. That means my attitude, my mouth. When I first, I always say I truly got saved at 19, even though I asked God into my heart like 300 times before that, because I had to be sure. But me and my friends, you know, teenagers, sometimes you develop a language and you're in high school. So that we had a few choice words and words we like to say. The minute I truly got saved and gave God my full life, I can remember I was talking with a family member over the phone, and I just was spilling out my words like I normally do, and I paused for a second, and I said, do I know how I sound right now? Because I became born again, because I became a new creation, see, I started to question myself, why did I just say that? Why did I just do that? I've given my life to God. And then things started to change because my life now was accountable to the God and creator who gives me life. So the way that I talk, the way that I dress, the way that I reflect, the attitude I have. Do I go to Walmart sometimes and have a pissy attitude? Yeah, come on, we all do. But there needs to be a humbleness inside every one of us to realize when we're wrong, to say, you know what, I was sorry for that attitude. Can you forgive me? I was sorry. I was wrong in this situation. The wise men, the story in the holidays, what's the first thing that it speaks loud and clear? It's all about who and what you follow. The star was important, but the star is not everything. The stars that people look up to today, are they important? But they're not nothing, really, honestly. Are we a star? Yeah, we're all stars, come on. But it's not about us. The story, this life, it's about God. It's about Jesus. It's about the story and the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ that God gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe will not perish but have everlasting life. Whoever decides, I'm going to begin life again now with him and not on my own. I'm going to begin life again with God and not on my own. So now my life is accountable and placed in his hands, which speaks of what the wise men did next as they got there, because they allowed the star to lead them all the way home. Listen, if we're driving somewhere and we get stuck and we never make it to the destination, sure, we could have fun along the way. But if you got somewhere to go, you want to get to the destination. There's a destination for every one of us in here this morning. And sometimes we're allowing too many things in life to distract us and get us stuck from getting to where we need to go. The wise men, they followed it to the very end. And what did they do? Their gifts that they opened up, it represented everything that they believed. The birth, the life, the resurrection, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gifts that they gave, gold for a king, frankincense and myrrh, things that represented his whole life, the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They spoke out, this is Jesus. This guy is amazing. There is something coming, a shift that will change the entire world. And so I'm laying out my best as I bow down. And they got on the ground and they bowed down. And it says that they worshiped Jesus and gave him their very best. There's nothing that reflects our attitude the most than being living and being accountable to the Word of God. There's nothing to understand better, more than the word, that when I give my life to God and I choose to live for him, I'm allowing now a different source to be my guiding light. There's a star, there's a guiding light, the Word of God, the life of Jesus, his parables, the teachings, every single thing that he did and lived for. There's something new that's guiding and leading the way that I talk and live and dress and live my life. Now I talk to people. It's King Jesus. And this morning, in this holiday season, it's really about King Jesus. It's really about King Jesus. And we don't really have, there are kings that are still around, but in the old days, everybody had to have a king, right? It's like having a pair of shoes. Everybody's got to have a pair of shoes. We all had to have a king back then. What did people do when you had a king? Well, you had to pay taxes. Well, that sounds familiar. Good old, yeah, here. We don't go there. You pay taxes. You served. You would bow down. And then you even worshiped your king. Because the king supposedly would provide protection, life, security. Jesus came here and he changed time and space, saying, this is the kingdom of heaven. Here's the message. Come follow me and let me show you a way to live. John 10:10. As we were describing the discussion between the devil and Jesus, and one of the verse, the first part of that verse is, the thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. Second part of the verse, Jesus says, but me, he says, I've come to give life and life to the fullest. And at the end of the day, we have to ask ourselves, am I living a double life in any aspect of my life? So in my spiritual life, is there any kind of double activity going on? In my mental mind, and none of us are going to admit this because we don't want to be mental, but in our mental mind thoughts and what I'm thinking every single day, have I allowed any kind of double action thought life to be going on inside of my head? In my emotional roller coaster of life, sometimes I'm on Ghost Rider and sometimes it's Supreme Scream, woo, bouncing, going up. If I allowed any kind of double activity to be going on in my emotional thought life, with my friends, with my family, with my church, is there any kind of double activity that I've allowed, that I've accepted? Because as we've learned, if you play with fire long enough, you're going to get burned. If I play with sin, I'm going to get burned. You play with desires, James said, if you play with the wrong desires, it's going to lead to death. Be careful what we allow and accept into our lives this year. Because again, 2024, it's over. 2025, it's here. The theme that we had at Zoe this year in 2024, it's fighting the good fight. Apostle Paul said, fight the good fight to Timothy. He says, stand up, fight, push, hurt. No, he didn't say hurt. Go after all, every good thing that's out there. Go and fight for everything that God has for you. Go and fight the good fight for faith. Stand up for what's right. Stand up for truth. Stand up and speak the truth everywhere you go and every opportunity you have. Fight the good fight. Go after that fight. But our fight for this year is almost over. And it is good and healthy for every one of us to say, how did I do this year? As it starts to wrap and we get into next year, remember, did I allow any double life action to push me to be a double agent where I'm kind of living in here and living this over here, hiding secrets from my parents? Am I hiding anything from my parents? Am I hiding anything from my friends? Is there anything in my life that I'm hiding? Because when we hide, when we run, we start to lie, and we're feeding something that's gonna cause, unfortunately, a bitter end. The wise men follow the star. Be careful who and what you follow. They bowed down and they worshiped and they gave their best. Life is about giving your best to God. He deserves it. If he gives you life every single day, if he gives you good air to breathe, whether it's here or LA or Montana, who cares? But if he gives us good air to breathe, man, if he gives us sunsets that look so beautiful, sunrises that are amazing, yeah, man, we can stop. We can complain about a lot of things. But I don't know about you, life's pretty cool. And life's pretty special. But you know what? It's cool and it's special when you decide what you do with it. How do you treat people? Are you barking orders? Jesus said, remember, I didn't come to be served, but I came to what? Serve. A lot in how you talk to people reflects what you have in your heart. Are you asking or are you telling people what to do? It speaks of what's in your heart and who you are. Not to judge, because all of us, hey, come on, anytime, any one of us in here, we can have a bad day and a bad moment, right? The wise men, and I know you're all wise, and so I close with this last verse, two verses. Matthew 7:24. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows is wise. Like a person who builds their house on a rock. Though the rain comes, the torrents, floodwaters rise, the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on the rock. But anyone who hears my teaching doesn't obey, it's foolish. Like a person who builds their house on the sand. When the rains and floods come, the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Jesus finished saying these things, and the crowds were amazed at his teaching. Jesus defining who's wise, simply, who listens and then follows. What did the wise men do? They listened and they followed. They listened and they followed. God says, forgive, I forgive. God says, love, I love. God says, serve, I get down on my knees and serve. God says, give, I give. I listen, and I just need to simply follow. Is that what we're doing? Am I following? Let's pray.